Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business. Boat, motorcycle, suit. The one that invents suit insurance is making a mint, I'm telling you. It's all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. They'll do everything they can to save you money and make sure you are completely covered at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Matt Leon in a moment on the triumphant Eagles' return to MetLife Stadium where they exercised all demons and beat Joe Namath and the Jets. No. But first, our play-by-play call of the day. Oklahoma State on the verge of a Big 12 title denied.
For Oklahoma State, win a conference championship if you score in all likelihood. And perhaps the CFP. Jackson trying to turn the corner, and he did not get there. Darren McVay raced him to the pylon and made sure he came up inches short. No question about the call. He didn't get to the pylon.
Yep, Sean McDonough, Todd Blackledge with the call on ABC Saturday. Really got Championship Saturday off and rolling. But again, what's my point about Alabama? History is the greatest teacher. That's why Matt's on the show and the suit's in the corner office. Oh, I'm sorry. What? Just thought I'd bring it up, okay? I mean, Doug loves when I mention the little tidbits. But in order to be the case, Alabama, the last time they lost to a team that scored less than 40 points was Auburn in 2017. Even this year when they lost, what did Texas A&M get? 41. You're telling me Georgia? I mean, I know the Alabama defense is nowhere near what it was 7-8 years ago. I've already pointed that out because Nick Saban made the transition that we are going to go to the wall on offense. And he's been right. He's been right. There's no way Georgia scores 40 points on Alabama. They don't have the quarterback to do it. And frankly, don't have the wideouts to do it. Their wide receivers are no better than okay. I mean, seriously, you know, which one out there is better than Dotson? I mean, Parker Washington even. I mean, Parker may not be the fastest guy out there, but Parker makes catches. I mean, Georgia is, you know, really has a pedestrian passing game. There's no way they're going to score 40 points in Alabama. And it's something I didn't account for that because I thought the Georgia front seven would be so good in this game. How can Auburn get six sacks and Georgia get none? And I'll tell you one of the reasons. Auburn played an even front. And I couldn't believe watching Georgia. They kept playing an odd front, I'm like, what are you doing? You're trying to expose the right tackle of Alabama. The odd front doesn't do that. I'm like, oh, I was like, okay, fine. You know, like Kirby said, you know, most of it's recruiting. Hardly any of it's coaching. Kirby, coaching may have come up maybe a couple times in that game. All right, the Eagles had a gigantic one yesterday. There was such joy in the Cotrillo household. It was unbelievable.
I call it more relief, but yeah, that too.
I mean, he's out there, right? On little Luke and little Mark, each one of them now has like big mustaches drawn on. You know, because Gardner Minshew is now the guy. I think that's a little bit too much on your part, but that's fine.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not ready to go there yet.
Oh, no. You are, believe me, you are the flavor of the month guy.
I loved him yesterday. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I knew.
But I hope you would have some, at least some sort of resemblance of the game he had when the other team admits that they didn't prepare for you. I'm just going to throw that out there.
You make it sound like a negative. All right. So let's get to Matt Leon. Sir, welcome. It's always a pleasure.
Good to be with you.
Yesterday, just a sterling performance by Gardner Minshew. But, you know, hey, you need your backup quarterback to do some things. He did some things. What did you think?
No, I thought he did a great job. I mean, I think he hit his first 11 passes. You know, they put 33 points on the board. And they put 33 points on the board with the benefit of only one jet turnover. It wasn't like it was constant short field. They ran the ball really effectively again. I don't want to take anything away from Minshew because he was really good and exactly what you want in a number two quarterback in that situation. But I also think he benefited from some course correction in the game plan the week before against the Giants.
Right.
You know, Dallas Goedert got three targets, had one catch for no yards. Miles Sanders, people wondered why wasn't he getting the ball more. And what you saw yesterday, you know, I think the first four completions all went to Goddard, two of them for touchdowns. And Miles Sanders, really, maybe for the first time in his career, Miles Sanders was really utilized like a number one running back.
Yeah.
Where they just pounded him into the line, pounded him, and he finally broke a 30, 35-yarder at the end. So I think Minshew ran exactly what they wanted to do. I think they learned some lessons from the week before. And let's face it, they played a bad Jets team. You put it all together, and you get what you got yesterday.
I can't believe that you call the Jets bad. I'm surprised. What kind of analysis is that? When they're scoring touchdowns and they keep missing extra points, you're saying, like, oh, no, brother.
And that kicker, you know, didn't they just sign him, like, the day before?
Well,
you know, kids getting the chance to play the NFL, and it all goes south like that.
He doinked one in Beaver Stadium.
Yeah.
He doinked one in Beaver Stadium, for goodness sakes, that Pitt needed. You know, when Narduzzi played one of the more conservative coaching games ever, like, you know, Jack and I are like, he's going to go for it. No, we're going to run out the kick. Doink. it's like, okay, great. That worked out well. Oh, man. But defensively, it seemed like they settled down as the game went along. Is that fair?
Yeah. I mean, I think the Jets scored touchdowns on their first three possessions. I think they went first three. Now, one was a very short field.
Sure.
After a long kickoff return. But, you know, they made the Jets offense look a lot more powerful than it obviously is. Now, after those first three drives, the offense fell off a cliff for the Jets. I think that was adjustments by the Eagles, and I also think it was, frankly, the Eagles just playing keep away with the football. I think the Eagles had the ball something like 13 and a half minutes in the third quarter.
They did, yes.
So, you know, when you're in a game like that, and the Eagles had the ball at, like, the end of the first half and then got it to start the third quarter, and then, you know, so that enhances, all of a sudden there's kind of a feeling of panic, I think, when you're the Jets offense. You haven't been out there, and, you know, now you got to make the most of every play, and all of a sudden everybody starts pressing, and then all of a sudden you look like the team you really are. I still, you know, the fact that they gave up 18 to this Jets team and didn't put any pressure on Wilson early, let him make the simple reads. I think, you know, you don't want to, you know, find the gray cloud in front of the silver lining of a victory, but I still don't get a lot of times what they're trying to do defensively, and, you know, I think that's going to be their undoing when it's all said and done. If they don't make the playoffs, you know, it's going to be just an inconsistent And it's not even the talent level. It's like just an inconsistent approach defensively.
Yeah, no, right about that. And I felt like that in the trenches, the Eagles just kept controlling the game. And that really hasn't happened a lot this year, where you walked out of there and thought, like, on both sides of the ball, they controlled the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the Eagles' offensive line is really operating at an elite level right now. And when you look at what Jordan Mailata's become at the tackle position, obviously you've got Kelsey and Lane Johnson, you know, but Landon Dickerson, who's a rookie, who, you know, after the great career at Alabama, that you just about every week now, there are one or two video clips that come out of a game that just show them, like, literally steamrolling guys 15 yards down the field. And, you know, I think it's five straight games now. They've rushed for more than 175 yards. You know, and this one was all running game. This wasn't, you know, a lot of the other ones, right, you could argue Jalen Hurts helped that. Although, to be fair, they utilize a lot of quarterback power and, like, designed runs with Hurts. It's not all of him running for his life. But, I mean, yesterday they shoved it down the Jets' throat and there was nothing they could do about it.
Right, yeah, no question. Look, and as I mentioned last week, there is no great team in the NFL. There are a lot of good teams, several above the Mendoza line teams, and then a lot of mediocre teams. This benefits Philadelphia. They're not in the wild card spot, but Minnesota losing yesterday to Detroit, then, you know, that helped Philadelphia. Washington rallying to win didn't.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, the Eagles, I'm pretty sure until Washington won, the Eagles were the seven.
Yes, they were.
The Eagles were that final wild card until Washington won that game. I mean, they still play Washington twice.
Right.
You pretty much have to feel that those games are going to go a long way to determining the playoff, you know, situation for the Eagles. But, I mean, you look, Eagles have a bye this week. And this is one of those where I think when the schedule comes out and you look and you see a late bye, you're like, oh, God, that's terrible. But then when you actually get there, you're like, oh, wow, this is great. When you're in contention and now you get the rest up and, you know, it's a sprint to the finish. You know, where they got Washington twice,
yeah,
Dallas home, and the Giants home.
Right.
And, you know, they don't have to get on a plane again. And it's right there in front of them. Now, you know, you watch yesterday and you're like, oh, I feel pretty good about things, you know, and then 2 weeks ago you're like, oh my God, I can't, this team might finish fifth in the AAC. Like, you know, it's, you're kind of week to week, and I think that's what you get with mediocrity. You know, some weeks they really make you open your eyes, and then other weeks they make you look away. So it's just kind of nice to have them in contention at this point in the season, because, you know, a month and a half ago, people were much more interested in the draft pick tracker than they were the actual game. So, you know, give them credit that they kind of turned things around when, you know, after a couple of those losses early on, it looked like, you know, this might get really, really ugly.
Right.
But it hasn't, and they're in the hunt.
What's Jalen Hurts' status when you're moving forward?
You listen to him talk this past week, and you thought he was going to play.
Right.
I think coming in with the bye, I would be very surprised. You haven't gotten any indication that it's a significant injury, and, you know, he was a game time decision a game day decision going into yesterday.
Aren't we all?
So, but 2 weeks, I'd be very, very surprised if he's not ready to go when they come back from the bye.
Sir, always a pleasure. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Minshew takes the snap. He fakes. He's back. He's looking. He is firing. It is complete. Breaking the tackle and going in for the touchdown is Goddard. 36 yards.
Yeah, and he just runs right through the contact.
Yeah, it's funny. I was listening to the suit right before that about the true meaning of Christmas, and we brought it up to him about the true meaning of Christmas. He said, yeah. He said, you know, extra sales. I mean, I don't know. I don't get what, you know, what the mindset is.
O-U-L-E-D, that spells founder.
I mean, I asked him what one time. I said, what does Shikellamy football mean to you? And he said, oh, about, you know, $1 million a year contractually. I'm like, I don't.
It wasn't the answer I was looking for.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Santa tonight, 6 to 7. And on, it's not only on WKOK, it's also on Eagle 107. How am I doing so far? Pretty good?
You're good. And we also have the Magic Cam on YouTube.
The Magic Cam?
Correct.
So what's on the Magic Cam?
You get to see the boys and girls that come in every night, talk to Miss Ann, and talk to Santa via the Magic Radio.
That's incredible.
Yes. So if people that can't make it to the radio station to see their kids, grandkids, niece, nephew, whatever, talk in person, they can watch online, besides listen, of course.
Roger had one of those installed in the corner office, but it was mostly just to make sure somebody was working. All right, so...
Oh, my almighty!
What? Just checking in just to see. Oh, my goodness. All right. I think Bryce Young is going to win the Heisman Trophy. I don't think it takes a genius now to look at that.
Yeah, and I think Alabama is going to win the national championship. Call it a hot take, but I think they solidified. I don't want to say solidified it, but I think they put themselves in very, very good contention to win another national championship.
It's not as if, though, okay, if you can somehow keep the... Because remember, Auburn played this team to four overtimes. Okay? It's not as if you can't play them and beat them. The biggest mistake Brian Harsin made in the game was not going for 2 points when they scored their touchdown. Man, you got them right there. You know, your quarterback's hurt. Finley's hurt. Yeah. Don't kick an extra point and extend the game. Right? I mean, there's no need to hang around. Go for it right then and there. But John Harbaugh did that yesterday. He just can't help it. He has a quarterback that can't execute. That's the difference between... You only know the difference between Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray? They both can run. They're both elusive. There's a gliding nature to how Jackson does. It's beautiful to watch Jackson run. But Murray, not the long strider, but man, he can run. Doesn't usually take a direct hit just like Jackson doesn't. Except the difference is Murray can make all the throws. Okay? Want to throw the out? Murray can throw it on the line. Got to get it over a linebacker? Murray can get it over a linebacker. Need to throw it deep? Murray can throw it deep. Need to throw it short with a little bit of touch? He can do that. That's the difference between the two. Murray's a far more complete quarterback than Jackson is. I mean, Jackson, I mean, how do you... There are two things. Number one, you're the Steelers. Why is Mark Andrews open? Why is he open? Exactly who else is he going to? Number two, that throw is... That throw is just poor. Just poor. Very interesting. All right. We'll talk to Jerry Dulac in a few minutes. And tomorrow, Tony Knopps on the show. The outstanding Sam Carcitti from the Philadelphia Inquirer is on. We'll talk to Sam. Alan Vigneault got fired. The only reason it's a real interest is that Matt loves to talk about people who lose their jobs. Seems to thrive on it.
And there's more that needs to happen, too.
Oh, you want more people to lose their jobs?
Yes, including the GM.
But what if they want you to lose your job?
Then obviously they're not paying attention. or paying attention to anything. They're not paying attention to the hockey team that stinks, and they're not paying attention to this show.
You think if they paid attention to this show, the hockey team would be better?
In some retrospects, maybe.
We never talk about them. Ever.
Exactly. They get the message. This was the least excited season I have been for a Flyer season. And here we go. Just when I was about to start getting on them a little bit more, it's totally over.
Kind of a bitter guy.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, motorcycle, powerboat, whatever it may be. They'll get you the best price, save you some money, and make sure you're covered. All at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Two quick notes. Joe Brady, fired offensive coordinator of the Carolina Panthers, former grad assistant here at Penn State, was replaced on an interim basis by Jeff Nixon. State College area high school, went to West Virginia, finished up at Penn State where he got his degree. A lot of local ties just in the one job there. Interesting. With that, let's bring in Jerry Dulac, Steelers Radio and the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Happy holidays, my friend.
Well, Steve, thank you, and same to you. And I hope you're doing well. And, yeah, can't complain. All good here. Just waiting to see how this thing unfolds. As we have seen, it's week to week with this football team.
It's amazing. It was almost quarter to quarter yesterday.
Oh yeah,
watching that. So, what do you think turned it for them offensively from a team that had the ball what 6.5 minutes in the first half to a team that won the game?
Well, I think you know, we have seen pockets, as you mentioned, in this game quarter to quarter. We have seen pockets where this football team played the way they would like to play. The fourth quarter in L.A., which was extreme. Defensive stops, defensive takeaways, 27 points, offensive points, you know, a block punt, doing the things necessary to come back from 24-10 and look like you're going to win the game, and then you give up an over-the-top touchdown, 53 yards, you know, bang like that, and you lose to the Chargers. But you think, okay, you know, that's the way, obviously, any team would like to play, but that's what they kind of hope to be. And then they come back the following week and just get embarrassed in Cincinnati. And then they come against the Ravens with the best team in the AFC. Now, I will say this, Steve. I thought all along, you know, the Ravens have had problems scoring points. They're actually lucky to be 8-3, or at least were 8-3. They could easily have been 4-7, but they weren't. And that's to their testament. They're the most resilient team I think I've ever seen, and they almost did it again yesterday. And if it wasn't for a little a wide pitch out on that, you know, that T.J. Watt caused on that 2-point conversion, they'd have done it again. They'd have won another game in the last minute when, or last seconds, when it doesn't look like they're going to. But to your point, I think their ability to continually run the ball, which was a little surprising because they've had problems with that, in the fourth quarter. And, you know, Ben being Ben does what he does more times than anyone except Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, and that's engineer another fourth quarter comeback. And that's when he's at his best. He's been there a million times. He's calm. He's poised. He's confident. And, you know, he knows how to run that hurry up, that two-minute. That no huddle, whatever you want to call it, because they kind of have different names for it and different schemes for it.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I think defense, you know, making some plays. I think they got a little help from some of the erratic throws of Lamar Jackson, who, you know, I believe is the most unstoppable player in the league. But I will say he has struggled, and that's why their offense has struggled. he has struggled with his accuracy and throwing interceptions, which we saw on the very first series, heaving that ball in the end zone, you know, throwing a jump ball when he had no business doing it on the run. But it's almost, by watching him, it's almost like Lamar could play poorly for, or average, below average, for three quarters. And then when he has to, he throws, it's like he throws on a switch. And then he's Lamar, the Superman, and does pretty much whatever he wants to do. And I think there was a combination of things that helped do that, but their ability, you know, to keep the Ravens off the scoreboard, I think, until the very end there. I mean, was you know, a team that had given up 82 points in the previous two games, you know, keeping the Ravens under control until that last drive, I thought was a big key.
Jerry, the Steelers this season have picked their spots to blitz. But yesterday, they blitzed not a little. They blitzed a lot. What kind of difference did it make?
Well, there's no question, Steven. I don't have the exact numbers yet on what percentage of time they blitzed, but I will say this. When you look at their numbers last year, everything from sacks to blitz pressure to percentage of blitzes to quarterback knockdowns to percentage of knockdowns to pressures to percentage of pressures, they've led the league in most of those categories, and or they finished second and third in just a couple of the others. This year, their numbers were way off that. They were not, other than sacks, there was nothing higher than 18th in the league rankings. And so they were trying to rely on four-man pressure and on occasion five. We have seen the fire zone blitz, Dick LeBeau's fire zone blitz, disappear from this defense. But that lack of pressure, to me, was causing them a lot of problems. Justin Herbert being able to stand back there and you know, throw for 382 yards, you know, and even on that last touchdown that I referred to earlier. So they sacked Lamar Jackson seven times, which is a career high for Lamar Jackson. I'm still amazed a guy who is as elusive and as quick and as fast and explosive as Lamar Jackson could be sacked seven times in a game. I have a hard time believing that happens, and yet he's sacked an awful lot. But I think their pressure, no question, and the pressure of T.J. Watt on that last two-point conversion, something as simple as that made him throw that little sidearm pitch out, and it just missed Mark Andrews. He got his fingertips on it, but you know, we didn't come up with the catch. And just something as simple as that pressure actually won the game for him.
Yeah, exactly. Although you have to explain to me why Andrews is open. That's a different story.
Well, I'll tell you, Lamar Jackson missed him earlier in the end zone on that final drive. He was wide open. And he was, hey, look, I'm with you, but I think what you would, it's hard to see on TV, but there's no question what they tried to do. They were going to eliminate the big play over the top to Marquise Brown. And no, so whatever that entailed, and you saw the way the Ravens started to drive, just throwing underneath check downs or just throwing underneath to running backs because the Steelers were leaving the middle of the field open because they weren't going to let number five get behind them or make big plays against them. And I think that was part of the reason. But, hey, as we know and we saw yesterday, he both likes to throw to Mark Andrews, whether it's down the field or over the middle, and they're just lucky they got away with it. The Steelers got away with it a couple times.
All right. What did you think about the decision to go for two by John?
You know, when it happened, I thought he's crazy because I thought, hey, look, you just kick the extra point you have Justin Tucker and play for overtime. You just expended a lot of energy, mental and physical, to put yourself in that position, you know, play for overtime. It's not like you're facing Tom Brady or the Green Bay Packers, a team that was scoring tons of points. It was not like the Steelers were going up and down the field. Right. And Jim Harbaugh's explanation afterward was, you know, Marlon Humphrey was out, and he says, and we were out of corners. And he just thought, you know what, I'm not taking any more chances. In retrospect, I agree with the decision for two reasons. One, because you got Lamar Jackson in the backfield. I understand the Ravens, you know, they go on fourth down when two-point conversion is probably more than any team in the league. And when you have Lamar Jackson under center or behind center, and the, I, I'm, look, how many times, more times than not, he's going to get you 2 yards. So with him back there, I get it. And here's the other thing, too. This was explained to me, by, you know, the NFL people think this way sometimes, is that when in that situation, Steve, you got one chance to win the game. You got to make. Yep. You just got to make one play to win the game.
Yep.
If you go to overtime, you probably have to make 3, 4, 5 plays to win the game, whether they're defensive plays or offensive plays. Now you only have to make one. And when you have Lamar Jackson, the chances of making that one play, certainly on offense, are in your favor. And so because of that, I get it. I don't blame him. We saw Mike Tomlin do it years ago in 2015 in San Diego. A similar situation. It wasn't a two-point conversion. They had the ball on the Chargers' one-yard line. It was the last play of the game. They put Le'Veon Bell in the Wildcat. They snapped it to him. He went in the end zone. They figured, hey, we got one shot, one very good shot to end this right here instead of kicking the field goal and going to overtime. And he did it. And they got away with it. I mean, they were successful. And so I get it. Like I said, the more I thought about it, the less problem I had with it.
In fact, when he did it, I liked it. I thought, you know what? You got a shot to win it right here. Go. I mean, I was all for it. Yeah, I mean, Auburn, Alabama, that's the mistake I thought at the time Brian Harsin of Auburn made. You got Alabama there. Just go for it and see if you can just beat the king right there.
Right.
And he didn't do it.
I think if the Ravens are at home, I think maybe he kicks it. Maybe I'm wrong. But I asked Mike Tomlin today, I says, hypothetical question, reverse the situation. Say you were on, that was you on the goal line, and you know you have a Thursday night game. Would you try to win it right there and not have to go to overtime knowing you had a game 4 days later? And he said probably. He said possibly, probably. And, and sometimes the analytics, they're numbers, they're percentages, but sometimes those analytics don't take into account some of the game factors, whether it's momentum, whether it's weather, whether it's home or away, whether, like in this instance or this hypothetical, the Steelers might have a game 4 days later, and maybe you don't want to go to overtime. So there are other factors that come into play with those analytics.
Thoughts on Ben now, you know, seeing the finish line of a career?
Well, I want to be clear here, and I hope you understand that was a little bit of a stretch by Adam Schefter.
Got it.
Ben did not say that. He's saying that he told teammates. But what I do want to say, Steve, is look, we've known this. Haven't talked to Ben many times, off the record personally. This was his last contract year. They gave him a 1 year deal, and that's it. He doesn't have a new contract. And after there being much discussion whether to bring him back this year, there has been nothing that has happened so far this year to change their mind to think, oh, yeah, we're going to bring him back for another year, when they debated it long and hard this past year. And I have said all along, the only way they are bringing him back is if he makes a run to the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl. And I, based on everything we've seen, I'd say that's highly unlikely and very improbable. To say this is his final year and say he's telling people, well, to a degree, I think the Steelers have spelled that out to him. Not saying definitively, but look, I know he knows that. He knows from the Steelers standpoint, was going to be his last year. And he won one more year to try and win a Super Bowl. And that's not happening. And I think Ben, he can see with that offensive line and everything else, they're not that type of team. Doesn't mean they won't try. But I think he understands this is going to be it. And like I said, barring an unforeseen Super Bowl run, I think it's safe to say this will be his final year.
Jerry, Thursday, Vikings, short weeks. How predictable or unpredictable to you are short weeks?
Well, they would certainly be unpredictable because you don't know how some teams are going to respond physically, whether they're an older team, whether they're a younger team, or whether they're a veteran team that understands what they have to do. or if they're a young team that doesn't know how to prepare on a short week. I will say this, in his last three Thursday night games, since we're talking about Ben, he's thrown 12 touchdowns and no interceptions, and his passer rating is 140. So, you know, so if his last three game Thursday night games is one each year, so that means he was 38, 37, and 36. So even at age 36 on a short week, when he typically won't even practice most times till Thursday, now he has to play a game. It hasn't right. bothered him, and if it's going to bother anybody, it would bother the quarterback. Yeah, you got Cam Hayward, who's 30, 32, 31. You know, will he be ready? He'll be ready. But it's hard to predict, you know, how that's going to play out. Because, you know, and hey, both teams are in the same boat. But I also think it has something to do with the quality of your depth. And you know, the Vikings are without a couple starters, including Dalvin Cook, which is going to be a big one for them. And I guess the receiver, I guess he was hurt yesterday, and I haven't heard anything more. But it's going to be up to your depth to be able to rotate players to see how you're going to survive on a short week.
And by the way, Marlon Humphrey is done for the rest of the season.
Right, right. I saw that, yeah.
Jerry, my good friend, thank you so much. Appreciate you very much. And we will talk soon.
Well, Steve, it's always good at chatting with you. I was so disappointed, as you know, in the overall tenure of the season, knowing your season, how close it could have been. And I'll tell you what else real quickly, what I discovered the other day, which I did not know. My friend Ken Wisenhunt was on that Penn State staff as an analyst all year, and I didn't know that. I speak with him from time to time. I hadn't spoken with him in a while. I called him last week, and he told me, he says, you know what I've been doing? He told me, and I said, I never knew that. Good for him. He's a great guy. He's a great coach, and I hope he gets back in the NFL soon.
Absolutely, and I've had a few conversations with Ken. I know exactly how you feel about him, Jerry. He's just a great guy, great mind, too.
The funny thing is, Steve, real quickly, is, in watching the games, and I remember this a couple, three games ago, as I'm watching on TV, I thought, my God, that guy looks like Ken Wisenhunt. I didn't think anything more of it. Now I realized it was Ken Wisenhunt. That's why it looked like
it. Oh, my goodness. Jerry, thanks so much, my friend. We will talk soon.
Yeah, I hope so, Steve. Always good chatting with you, my friend.
You too. Jerry Dulac, Post-Gazette, Steelers Radio. Yeah, Ken Wisenhunt's what a great, great guy to talk to. And he was another one of those guys that went out and got his you know how you have at this time of the year, you see William Shatner or you see Joe Namath and others for, you know, now's the time to make your election benefits for Medicare, right?
Correct.
It's also the same time of the year that people are renewing restraining orders against the suit. It's just the same thing. And if you want, we can all go on and do personal endorsements. Hi, I'm Joe Montana. Have you gone out and had your restraining order against the suit taken care of? Well, my law firm, Dewey, Cheatham & Howe, takes care of all that and much, much more. All right, so we'll come back with more in a moment. What? Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
S-U-I-T, that spells suit.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
And I wish they would go for two. I want to see this game end right here, one way or another. I want one team, but they're going to kick it, obviously. But I wish that they would go for two. That would make it fun.
They are going to go for two.
Yes.
You wanted it, Tony.
This is it.
You got it. How about this? Oh, my goodness.
John Harbaugh has the guts, I tell you.
That is something else. The game hinges on one play. Jackson flings it. Andrews can't get to it. Could not reel it in. Incomplete.
Unbelievable. It was a great play call. Andrews is open. Lamar, though, has the great T.J. Watt in his face. It's not an easy throw. The ball just has to be flicked with a little bit of height. Oh, and it's 1 inch from Baltimore going to 9-3, but instead, the Steelers are alive.
Jim Nantz, Tony Romo, fun call.
Here we go, Jim.
Meanwhile, you had the Eagles and the Jets yesterday. Back to pass. Caught. That's first time.
But at least these weren't at the same time of each other.
How about Robert Saleh, by the way, yesterday? The pass interference call with Goddard. He was on a drive.
Yes.
Saleh was so right.
No, he was. That was a bad call.
So right. And this, the NFL has got to start doing a better job of picking spots and letting them play a little bit. The game can't keep... Nobody wants to sit there and watch you officiate. When you sit there and you know the lead referee's name by heart before the game, that's not good. Oh, we got today, Jerome Berger. Yeah, okay, great. Hey, Patriots and Bills tonight.
Oh, yeah, and it's windy up there.
25 to 35 mile an hour winds, gust to 60. It's kind of like a Shikellamy broadcast.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.